Okay, you guys, I am back with another episode of Go Bayside. For first-time listeners, it is the Saved by the Bell podcast where I invite a friend over to my house, we watch an episode of the show, take notes, and then we break it down bit by bit for you.
So it's the Save, it's not a Saved by the Bell podcast.
It's not a Saved by the Bell podcast. It's the Saved by the Bell podcast. And that was the voice of my guest today.
Hey.
Introduce yourself.
My name is Matt Kirshen.
That's right. Matt Kirshen came over to watch what this episode entitled Operation Zach.
Yep.
The original air date was September 28th, 1991. And what I'm going to do is have you go ahead and give like a short synopsis of the entire plot, like four or five sentences, and then we'll really get deep into it.
I don't know. That's like saying...
You got it?
I mean, like...
Look, it's challenging.
You basically said, like, describe the human condition. that's what you're asking me to
but
do.
But I have such faith in you and your skills.
In, like, four sentences or fewer, what is love? Like, that's the kind of question
right.
You've just asked me.
And but look, fret not, because after you do that, then we'll really get into...
Okay. So...
Every part of this fascinating whirlwind of an episode that we just watched.
So, Zach, who is meant to be playing basketball, going to a basketball... We've got to get into what a basketball rally is. I don't even know what that is
yet.
So, we're going to have to get into that.
Sure.
But Zach, meant to be playing basketball, is injured in the locker room by Mr. Belding.
Yes.
Accidentally. He suffers one of the most serious twisted knees in history.
Yes.
And faces a knee operation.
Yes.
Meanwhile, Mr. Belding takes over his entire... Zach's entire scholastic duties, that's the B plot.
Yeah.
For the entirety of the time he's in hospital.
Yes.
And
that's beautifully done. I mean, that is basically, that's the whole thing. Is he gets injured, he's in the hospital. Yes. Well, also, I guess, and the whole time he's afraid he's going to die.
He's apparently much more afraid of operations than we previously knew.
Yes. Okay.
So
it's a pretty simple episode.
It's a pretty simple episode, but you really learn something about the character of Zach.
Right.
It's a character study.
Right. It is. Well, the episode opens with something we've never seen Zach doing. He's studying.
He's studying.
He's
got books in front of him, and he's looking at his fingers and moving them around on his left hand while he's writing with the right. So we know that it's some kind of arithmetic.
Yes, he is counting. He's studying at the max. And that's when everyone else, like the rest of the gang, comes in and they're like, hey, what are you doing? The basketball rally is about to happen, which, not growing up in the States, clearly, unless, are you faking that accent or are you really not from
here? No, this is real. I mean, I'm faking this accent. But I am from Britain, but this isn't my accent.
It's just like pre-game. I don't know if we had basketball ones. In my high school, we had football ones, and it was just like before a big game. It was a rally in the gym, like just, hey, hope we win. Everybody, go team. It's just a general morale boost.
So there is going to be a game after the rally.
Yeah.
Right.
Like the rally is just like to get everybody all pumped up.
That's what I couldn't work out. That was a source of confusion for me in this episode.
Well, even though I know what that is and everything, it was for me in the way that they acted like him being at the rally was super duper important. Like they were just like, what are you doing? Hurry up. We got to go to the rally. Which it's like, well, why don't you just let him study? Maybe he misses the rally, but then he's there at the game, which is what counts anyway.
Yeah.
But they were freaking out about it. Yeah. They're like, you got to be at the rally.
He tries to send Screech in his place.
Yeah. With
a blonde wig.
Of course. Which would fool everyone in the school, I'm sure.
I mean, it almost looks like that was just a conceit on the writer's part to have Screech burst in a blonde wig.
Oh, of course.
It almost looks like.
I mean, I don't know why you're so cynical when clearly it was just like a solid joke.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think prior to this episode, it's ever been addressed that Zach plays basketball.
Oh, okay.
I don't think that's ever been said.
But he's now the captain.
But now he's like the most important basketball player in the history of Bayside.
And the team consists exclusively of him and his closest friends.
Exactly. Of course. team does, of course. But yeah, so I guess
you're the captain, you get to pick the rest of the squad. So it's just...
I'll have only my friends on. The entire basketball team is me and Slater. It's two of us against whoever else.
Why would you need anything anymore?
Right.
And And he's doing his math homework. He should have already done his math homework, mm-hmm. but he got an extension on it right. Because he told the teacher that his house had burnt down.
Yes.
And the teacher questioned no further. It was just...
Because he goes, it's to set up the joke because he says, it's a take-home test, right? So Jesse Slater, somebody goes, yeah. Wasn't that math take-home test due a week ago? And you're right, that's when he says, well, I told Mr. Dewey my house burned down. It's simple. No home, no take-home. And you are right. Like, the teacher just goes, oh, okay, that's cool. I'll give you an extension.
I mean, it's such a big town that there's no way a house burning down would have been news in any way.
Well, not only that, but it's like, if your house burns down, I'm pretty sure your first priority isn't like you'd be like, oh my God, my house burnt down.
Yeah.
I'm mourning my dog from school. Yeah, it's like, it would have been the hugest catastrophe. Like, this is a huge deal in my life. Not like, oh, your house burned down? Okay, kid. Well, I guess I'll give you an extra week to do that test. Like, I don't know. They would just super be like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. Like,
but if that test isn't in 2 days' time, you're in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, so he totally says that his house burns down.
By the way, when you said no home, no homework, I honestly thought for a second, because I've forgotten it from when it was in the show, I honestly thought for a second he was just like, no home. like no homos. That's what he says at the end of every sentence. Yeah, do you not remember that was the thing that Zach said after every sentence?
Just no home. So he's studying for the first time, and also apparently we find out he's on the basketball team for the first time. Lisa comes in dressed in a candy striper outfit, like a volunteer at a hospital uniform.
Yeah, that was another expression I was unfamiliar with. Candy striper.
Yeah, that is... I'm only vaguely familiar with it, to be honest with you. I feel like I should know more about it. I know that's what it's called if you work at if you are a volunteer nurse, I guess.
Right.
I don't know why it's called that.
But they wear that uniform to distinguish them from...
Maybe it's like a thing when people first started doing that, they gave out candy to like kids in a hospital or something.
No, I assumed it was because that's just... The doctors wear the white coats and the nurses wear blue or whatever, and then right.
The volunteers wear the stripes,
literally. And so they became nicknames candy stripers.
Right. You're probably right.
But Screech completely misunderstood that.
Of course.
And assumed she was painting stripes on candy for a job.
Right. Which is also how the stripes get on the candy.
Right.
Somebody does paint them on there.
This is what, okay. As a scholar of the show.
First of all, I'm very flattered to be addressed as such. Thank you for the respect.
Is Screech smart or dumb?
He is both.
Okay.
He is, I guess an idiot savant, right, would be the most accurate way, because he has built, single-handedly built a robot. He built a robot that has a personality and will answer when you talk to it and has its own jokes, but yet he thinks people paint stripes on candy canes.
Right.
So he's both.
So was it ever explained whether Screech was human or has been...
It was never explained, actually.
Because it almost... Like, there's a touch of Mork about him.
Oh, completely. Absolutely.
Like, where is he coming from? How does he not know this basic thing?
Right.
And yet he's able to...
It's totally... Like, he's a dumb genius.
Level robot.
Exactly.
Okay.
He's a dumb genius. But yeah, there are never any... We're never given details if he's, like, on the autism spectrum or if he's, in fact, an alien. There's no details like that. But yeah, in one show, he'll think... You know, candy striping is a real thing, and then he'll, you know, ace his math test or whatever. So he's just a dumb genius.
Right.
But yeah, so he thinks that Lisa for real works in a candy factory. She then explains that she's volunteering at the hospital, which is very convenient, considering one of her best friends is going to be there. So it's just super convenient. The same day she starts at the hospital.
So handy.
Her friend's going to be in there. It's just, wow. It's crazy that happens. So...
So, cut to the locker room.
Yes, next scene is in the locker room.
Now, it's instantly hilarious because the coach, who apparently we'd never seen this guy before.
It's a basketball team, so it's all these big dudes.
And
the coach bursts in.
Coach is very small.
He's a little person. Yeah. What a classic joke.
Hilarious.
What an amazing cerebral.
And there was like a sort of just cheery laugh when he burst in through the door, which made me think that he was a recurring character.
Yeah, you did ask me. You were like, oh, is this a recurring? And I'm like, no, it's just for the joke of he's a little guy and he's coaching a basketball team.
Right.
Which is hilarious.
I guess the 90s was simpler times.
Yeah. Yes, definitely. So yeah, so he comes in. He's giving them like a kind of a psych up speech, but is not good at it. So Mr. Belding comes in.
Mr. Belding takes over, and he takes a knee, and he has a Can we call it an Oscar moment?
Oh, of course. You like, should.
He was reaching for an award there.
Oh, he was. He gives them some, like, Tony Robbins type shit.
Yep.
Just some real, like, inspirational, shoot, the hoop is your dream, for your dreams.
And he
goes
the whole metaphor, you know, the basketball is like life.
Of course. All this stuff gets really deep into it.
It was like that scene in The Wire where they compare the chess game to...
You just said about Saved by the Bell. It's like that scene in The Wire.
Right. They're going, like, it's a similar... I'm not... And given that The Wire happened many years later, I'm not saying the writers of The Wire were definitely...
They probably had
seen that scene.
They probably ripped it off. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
Come on. They probably ripped it off directly from Saved by the Bell. Yeah, so Belding's really digging deep, giving him this, like, super inspirational speech. And then they're like, come on, dude. We got to go shoot layup drills.
And they all pile out through the door.
Yes.
And Belding, just at the last minute, sort of stops and doubles back for some reason.
Yeah, he, like, forgot to say something super inspirational.
Right at the point that Zach is just a half step behind him.
Yes.
Which is a disastrous distance to be behind someone who's just stopping.
Yeah, in a doorway.
In a doorway? Like, how dangerous is that?
Yes.
We're about to find out, because Zach spills backwards.
Yes.
And for a good minute or so... tries to work out which bit of his body is hurting.
Yeah,
like he honestly looked a bit like in a soccer match when like a player's taking it like a dive,
right?
And isn't sure at first which bit to kind of fake out as the guy has been injured.
Right, right. First of all, I want to say I appreciate you taking into consideration my American listening audience and referring to it as soccer.
You're welcome.
Although I still said football.
Although I did say soccer match rather than soccer game. I kind of went halfway. 50.
Yeah, you split the difference, but still, I do appreciate that.
You're welcome.
We played this scene 3 times.
We did.
Because, and most people that listen to this watch along at home, so they'll know, but just for the sake of people that haven't seen it, I can't even find words to describe how much of a nothing it is. Like, I can't. Zach is behind.
Well, they clearly had no stunt budget.
No stunt budget. No sort of... I mean, I guess maybe they thought he'd really hurt himself if he tried to even fake hurt himself. He's behind Belding as Belding's walking through the door. Belding turns because he's like, oh, I forgot. Turns kind of quickly, kind of. It's not even that. He's not even turning on his heels.
It's like when a pro wrestling move that like gets mistimed and they don't even connect. Like,
yes! Just... And Zach, all he really does, if you watch it, is just kind of go timber in a way. He just falls straight back.
Yeah, he falls straight back. There's no twisting.
There's no twisting. It's the most controlled fall. But yes, he acts as if like, oh my God, I'll never walk again.
Yep.
What's going on? Like, he's
and
writhing on
horrified.
The floor.
Everyone's
yes.
I mean, like, to be a twisting injury can sometimes come about from a far less impressed, like, it a minor fall can be more serious than it looks.
Right.
I don't want to belittle
you, of course.
Zach's issue. I don't want to claim that he's definitely faking. But the whole, I think that the whole episode, there's like a meta, there's a subtext of
right.
This is bullshit. Like,
this is coming from a guy who just lied about his house burning down.
Right.
So I think we know his history of lying.
Maybe Zach lives in this weird, like, maybe he's some sort of strange compulsive liar.
Right.
Maybe he has some kind of Munchausen syndrome.
Oh, totally.
Where he's so desperate to be the center of attention.
Yeah.
That he will entirely fake
this knee injury.
This injury.
So, well, as it turns out, though, as fake as it looks and as much as we're already, like, doubting this dude, he does get to the hospital, and the doctors make a rather big deal of it.
Well, like, I mean, Screech is already, like, he bursts in through the door, pushed by Screech. He's in the wheelchair already.
Yes.
Into the lobby, the reception area of the hospital, which, as we noticed, is decorated with x-rays. Like,
you lost your mind. And I didn't notice until you pointed out, and I'm glad you did. But yeah, they're in the lobby.
Right behind, like, the nurse's station.
Yeah.
Like, the sort of the check-in desk, which is where Lisa is stationed.
Yeah.
Conveniently.
Yeah.
Behind them on the wall.
Just a bunch of x-rays hanging.
Three x-rays of, like, 3 different body parts as well. There was, like, a chest, a leg.
Yeah.
Like,
and just then, like, hanging a, in the light God. Box in the lobby.
It just, in a light box. Which, firstly, it... What patient is this where three different body parts are being x-rayed?
Yeah.
And then they would just leave them on display.
On display in the lobby. Like, there's laws against that. Your privacy and it's like, you can't just
show. It can
show.
Only be artwork.
Yeah.
Like, it has to be there. It's like,
it's
like
for decoration.
You would have a portrait on the wall, but because it's a hospital, you have the skeleton instead.
Right, right. And they're like, you know where you are.
Maybe that's just like the benefactor or the founder of the
hospital. This is the guy who started it all. Yeah. Look, this is literally the heart of the generous man who built this hospital. We wanted you to see how big it is, literally, physically. Yeah, it is crazy that they have those like right in the lobby. But yeah, Screech is pushing Zach in a wheelchair, and I think he has his leg like straight out in a splint or whatever, on a plank kind of thing, whatever that's called. I'm not a doctor. And then Screech also says, because Mr. Belding is like behind them, like, oh my God, I'm so sorry or whatever. And Screech goes, hey, my Uncle Shyster is a lawyer.
Right.
You could be owning Bayside. But the main thing I took away from this, other than Screech is super litigious because he says something about suing a bunch of times in this episode, I didn't get, is his uncle named Shyster? Or is he like, my uncle is a shyster.
Or is he like...
Shyster is like an insult. You call somebody a shyster, right? That's like a thing. That's like you're a scammy dude.
Does Screech have like a series of like uncle shysters? Like that's a thing that someone has. Like, you know how you have like an uncle shyster?
Right.
That's just like a... You know, the person... You must know your uncle shyster. Like it's the person who's friends with your dad.
Yeah.
Who is a con artist.
Right,
that's
right.
That's your uncle shyster. Right.
That's what I swear to you're joking, but I'm like, I swear I was thinking of that. I was thinking like, oh, that's just the thing he calls a guy. Or is his uncle really named like, hi, my name is Frank Shyster. I'm Screech's uncle. Yeah. Like, what?
And he's just chosen to go into the, I don't know whether it's the most inappropriate or the most appropriate profession.
Yeah. Yeah, someone with that name. Exactly. So that was funny to me, and I was actually trying to figure that out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then the x-rays, we talked about that. So they lead Zach to his room, and apparently this hospital only employs hot nurses. Hot, young nurses.
Super hot.
In hot nurse uniforms super from, like, hot. 80s metal videos.
Who are instantly besotted with Zach.
Okay. I want to say this, though. How can they not be? Because... I'm a lady, and I was watching, and in this episode, Zach is swole up. I mean, his arms are huge.
He's buff.
He looks fucking good. This is, up until this point, this is like the hottest Zach has looked in the series. He's even, his physique is like on par with Slater's, almost. Like, in this locker room scene where they're like chilling, his arms are just buff as shit. I know you have nothing to say on this topic.
I guess what happened was they told him at the beginning of the season, they're like, hey, listen, there's going to be a point in the season where you are captain of the basketball team.
Right.
Which will be mentioned once and then never referred to again. So you will need to be a plausible shape.
Yes.
To be a star athlete.
And he totally is. So it's like, as far as all the nurses being into this dude, that part, I believe. I believe that part. As far as all the nurses being, I guess, in their like early 20s and wearing hot fantasy nurse uniforms only and never scrubs or any of those like orthopedic shoes or anything, I don't believe.
And an excess of makeup.
Yeah. Like
they all have like bright red lipstick.
Yes. I mean, they're all straight out of the textbook fantasy of a hot nurse, every single one of them. And they are tripping over themselves, like, come massage Zach or whatever, but that part, yes, I believe.
You're on board.
Fully believe it.
Meanwhile, Mr. Belding
is there the whole time, though.
The whole time, and he's like, you know, doesn't have to worry about running a school or anything.
Not at
Can't
all.
Send anyone in his place.
Nope. Just leaves the school to go be at Zach's bedside, and... Yeah, I just wrote down, like, his insane guilt. Like, he just is constantly apologizing.
I don't know whether it's guilt and it's stoked up by possible fear of litigation.
Yes. Or, well, I think it's a combination of that. I think he feels responsible if the team loses the basketball game.
Right. Which they did, by the way.
Which they did. We'll get to that later, though. But, yeah. But you're
right. Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I'll dare you, Matt. But his guilt... is insane. I mean, it's like so next level for someone who, at the end of the day, all he did was turn around in a door frame.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like he was driving a car that, like, Zach was decapitated in the accident. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
His level of guilt far exceeds whatever this quote-unquote accident
was. And maybe Zach should have been more careful, like, barreling out through the door.
Exactly. Like, Zach was following him too closely.
Technically, technically, that is a hallway outside that door.
Uh-huh.
And schools have very strict rules as to the pace at which you can move in a hallway. Rules that should be enforced by said principal.
Right.
Now, Zach wasn't yet running in the hallway, but there's no way if he was lurching towards the door at that speed, the second he crossed that threshold, he would have been running in a doorway. In a hallway.
You know how in, like, Roadrunner cartoons where it's like the legs are blurry at first because he's getting ready to run? Like, that's Zach was doing.
So there was no, like, he would have been in direct violation of school rules.
Yes, it's like you could tell.
Had Mr. Belding not stopped there.
Right.
So Mr. Belding is as a law-abiding, school rule-enforcing member of society would naturally assume that people are following behind him at a regular pace.
First of all, how are you not a lawyer, Uncle Scheister? Because what you just gave is the opening argument for Mr. Belding's defense in this trial, Belding v. Morris, in court. You just totally, if I'm a juror, I'm like, oh my God, Zach is 100% at fault.
There's absolutely no way. There's not a court in the land.
Like, honestly, like, you just gave a beautiful opening argument or closing statement, whichever one. I'd be like, oh, you guys are right. Mr. Belding is totally off the hook. Fuck Zach for trying to even start running in the hall.
The only possible counter argument I can think of is maybe there is another entrance to the locker room that goes into the hallway.
Okay.
And that is an exit that goes directly out onto the basketball court.
Okay.
And a basketball court, of course, is an appropriate place for running.
Gear up and start running.
It's an appropriate place. It's a legitimate speedy locomotion zone.
Right.
So if that were the case, then Belding would still be in the wrong.
Right, but I think your first instinct is right, because I think the gym, they have other sports. There's not going to be a gym that opens right to the basketball court because you have other sports going on.
Yeah.
Why would
and
you have...
And also, Belding comes in through that door initially.
Yeah, so he wouldn't be
so
walking across the court.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think your first instinct is right. Belding is completely off the hook.
He's completely off the hook.
His name is cleared.
And yet, for some reason,
he's so guilty.
He feels such... There almost might be some underlying... Like, I'm wondering whether he has done something to Zach that we never find out about.
Right, because his guilt is such that it's, like, so unequal to what's happened.
Yeah.
And he goes, so he's basically like, Zach, what can I do? What can I possibly do to make this up to you? I'll do anything. And Zach,
a little crafty light bulb goes off.
And he basically blackmails the principal of the school into taking his tests for him.
Doing his math homework.
Now, here, and this is going to come up more in the episode.
This is, I think, the biggest problem you had.
It is. It infuriated me.
With Mr. Belding's behavior.
Yes. Because not only does he accept, he goes, yeah, of course I'll do that. He's the fucking principal of the school.
You know, you're the principal of the school, and your pupil who you've been involved, like, who's been injured, partly in association with you.
Sure.
This pupil, this student has been injured.
Yeah.
And he has this test that was meant to be in, and he's not going to be able to do that now.
Mm-hmm.
So, what would you do in that situation?
Exactly.
What would you do? Well, April, maybe you'd like to tell us what he does do.
Because, and like I said, this is going to come up later when there are scenes of him fucking studying. If you're the principal, you can go, oh, you're right. I'll give you an extension. I'm the principal. I can tell the teacher to give you even more of an extension.
Yeah.
Or, if push comes to shove and you feel so guilty, you can go, I can tell the teacher to give you an A. I'll just be like, give Zach an A for that thing.
For I am the boss of this
school. For I'm the boss of it. I'm the boss of the teachers. I can essentially tell them what to do. He takes the tests himself. All of these tests.
Like, why does he do that?
In subsequent scenes, you see him,
Zach's
like,
learning nothing. There is nothing to be gained from this.
Nothing. And he goes, like, there are scenes where Belding is, like, fretting over books. He's got open books. He's studying. He's drinking coffee. Like, oh my God, I'm studying for this math test.
It's not like this is work that has to be done.
No.
It's not like, well, if Zach doesn't do this work and I don't do it for him, then science will never know the answer to these questions.
No. It's like, just fucking tell the teacher, oh, give Zach an A. Zach's in the hospital. He can't take the test. Give him an A. I'm the principal. I sign your check. Do that.
He bounced off my shoulder.
Yes. But
albeit in the process of a potentially illegal transgression of school rules. Yeah.
And so that also makes me picture. So they do. They have scenes where, like, Belding's in the max and he's studying and whatever. So that makes me think there's also, you know, he goes to class and sits in the desk with the other students and, like, takes the test.
I mean, already, Mr. Belding seems to spend a suspicious amount of time hanging with the kids.
Oh, completely. Never at his never actually running the school. Like, just hanging with these dudes.
I'm gonna come out and say this. I think he is an inept principal.
Very controversial of you to say.
I honestly think, like, he's like one of those bosses who doesn't know how to delegate.
Nope. And he just wants to be cool. He just wants the employees to think he's cool.
Yeah. He is not.
So he's not getting his work done.
He is not a good employee of the school authorities.
No.
The school board is wasting taxpayers' money.
Yeah, the school board should absolutely fire him.
Right.
Absolutely. Without question. But,
like, it's amazing that the school seems to perform relatively well academically and in sports.
Right.
Given what sloppy helmsmanship he shows.
Given that they're a ship with no captain.
Right.
Right.
They should be running adrift.
Yes. But maybe, somehow they dominate.
Unless there is some hidden power, like some secret, like, vice principal, like Uber principal that we never encounter.
That is a thing. Is actually good point. I don't think that there's ever an episode where there is a vice principal. I really don't think there is.
I mean, the school also seems to have a suspiciously low number of students.
Well, of course. Yes, of course. Maybe, I mean, I guess you don't really need to be present all the time if your entire student body consists of, like, 25 kids.
Yeah. Like, there's Zach and his close friends.
His close friends.
Then there's the nerd kid.
A handful of nerds, a couple of stoner dudes, a couple of metal dudes. And that's kind of it. A couple of jocks, I think.
It's like, I'm wondering whether it really is a school. or some weird fantasy camp that Mr. Belding himself has set up. And he's gone, I want to be the principal of a school.
Right.
And he's gone to, like, an organization that helps fix this.
What organization would that be?
I don't know. Some sort of Make-A-Wish shadowy.
Maybe. Give you a school, sir.
Maybe this is just like, maybe Mr. Belding is a dying man.
And this is his dying wish is to be the principal of a bunch of fucking rowdy kids.
And he's gone, and they've gone, what would you like the school to be populated with? And he's gone, I don't know, about three of each type.
Three of each type of kid. Three of each type of kid in high school. Yeah. Well, what you're saying isn't too far off from a few theories that have been introduced, but most of those revolve around Zach, that, like, this world is in Zach's head. Like, Saved by the Bell, I've had a couple people say they think Saved by the Bell isn't real at all. And
right.
It's a total, like, it was all a dream kind of thing, and it's all in Zach's head. Considering, you know, he can freeze time and talk to the camera and control everything.
Yeah.
But nobody yet has introduced the theory that it's Mr. Belding's dream. It's literally a grown man's dream, life dream, to be the principal of a bunch of fucking jag-off kids in this fake school.
Which would explain, maybe, why he's so horrified that one of the kids has got hurt.
Right.
Because he's like, my beautiful plan is...
But, okay.
What have I done? Maybe he just had a sudden moment of clarity where he's like, I've created a monster.
Let me ask you this, though. What's his end game? If this is his Make-A-Wish Foundation type thing, it's like, it's my life's wish to do this. What's the end game? Like, what is he achieve? Just to have a bunch of kids think he's a cool dude?
Maybe he wasn't popular in school.
And so this is the way that he can go back and relive high school in a way to be cool? To be popular?
He's righting the wrongs. Maybe in his school...
I'm trying to get you to get into Mr. Belling's head and explain.
Maybe in
me.
His school, he had a principal who was overly distant and...
Okay, you're losing me right there
spent
anyway.
Spent too much time...
Whose principal is this hands-on? Nobody's principal isn't
maybe
distant.
Maybe that was, like, all the way through school, and he's like, I've never even met my principal. He seems to spend all his time in his office telling his teachers and other staff what to do and ensuring the smooth running of this building.
Okay, just doing his job.
And I just don't think that's right. And I want to be a principal of a school where that isn't the case. And he takes that idea to the school board, and they're like, no, you can't do that at all. That sounds weird and illegal. That sounds weird and illegal.
Because you want to be best friends with your students.
And also, you don't just get to apply to be principal of a school. Like, you have to normally be like a teacher first and work your way up through the system.
Right, right.
You don't just go to principal school.
Right.
I majored in principal at college.
Right, totally.
With a minor in administration. I don't know. So they're like, no, that's not going to happen.
So he's like, fuck you, it is going to happen.
It is going to happen. And maybe my school won't have 600 students.
Or any accreditation or anything. It won't be a real school at all.
But there will be at least 20 to 25 children at this school.
I love the idea of him going to a school board or whatever regulatory board and going, okay, so what constitutes a school? What's the minimum amount of children that can go there to make legally. It a school?
What's
and they're like, I don't know, 20 to 25, and he's like, done.
Yeah, and they're like, whoa, 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 wait. They have to be different categories of child.
You got to hit all the clicks or it doesn't count. I love the idea of them being like, you can't. So, and he's like, so if I just get like 5 or 6 kids, they're like, yeah, that's like a cult.
Yeah,
like, that's weird.
You're not 20
to 25, that's a school. Make sure you get a few kids from each click. Then legally you're recognized as a school.
Right.
This is amazing, first of all. You came up with, no one has ever said this before, the theory that Bayside is like Mr. Belding's own creation. Because it's his dream to be a cool principal, and he wants to right the wrong of the principal of his youth. This is incredible. I want this to be true.
I have an even deeper theory. I think I have more. I
want it to be true, but that's also the most pathetic dream of a grown man ever that could ever happen. So, what's your even deeper theory about Mr. Belding?
Okay. And this, it's just a few other pieces of the puzzle have fitted in.
Okay.
And there's some stuff that's coming up later in the episode. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but we're going to come to it in a bit.
Okay.
I think that they might be the only people left on Earth.
Okay.
After some kind of, they're in some sort of post-apocalyptic, like there's been an event.
Sure.
That is never referred to.
Okay, but Bayside is the only thing that's untouched.
Bayside and a few surrounding buildings.
Okay.
Which would explain why, if you have some advance notice that there's going to be some horrendous event, what are you going to do? You are going to instinctively go, okay, we can only save at most 50 people.
Uh-huh.
We're into, like, balloon debate territory. Who do we save? Well, the children of the future. So we're going to want to save, like, several of each category of child.
I do love, too, that the categories are nerd, metalhead, stoner, jock. That's...
So they can repopulate the world.
Yes, of course.
We're going to need some adult to be in charge.
Sure.
I'm not saying Mr. Belding was definitely behind the event, but he might be.
But is he in charge? Who... Is he the one in charge of choosing the... How did he get to be the one adult that's in charge of repopulating the Earth?
But I think there's some darkness going on here.
Okay.
Mr. Belding might be...
He might have been the one...
He might have orchestrated the event.
Okay.
There's a few other adults floating around. There's a doctor.
Of course.
Well, Lisa's parents.
Yeah.
Who?
Because you need a doctor.
You need a doctor. As anyone who's had a balloon debate in high school, no, you need right. You save the doctor.
What's the balloon debate?
I mean, it's the thing where there's like 6 people in a hot air balloon.
Okay.
And you go, and they're not enough weight, and you need to lose someone.
Oh.
And everyone is, like, given, like, you are, this is who you are. You are a doctor or a professor, you are a professor of physics, you right. are a teacher, you are whatever. And
I don't like this, because I'd be the first one kicked off that balloon. They're like, you're a goof, we don't need that. Bye.
You're a comedian with an unhealthy obsession of, like,
yeah. Yeah, it's like British... I have no real use to anyone.
You know a lot about singers with quiffs.
Yeah. Like, oh, that's not going to save us when... Yeah, okay, like this already.
So it's a debate about like whether your person gets saved.
And right.
So you need a doctor.
Okay.
And you need whatever the hell Mr. Belding is to...
Just... Exactly. Like, he's just... How could he be... He's just an adult. He doesn't really have any... I mean, principling.
Yeah. But
being bossy, is that a thing? I guess. Or
think about this though. Why would no one bat an eyelid that Zach's house has burnt down? Because we're living in a post-apocalyptic world,
where the,
and a house
occurs,
being on fire is just a, oh, well, that's
like
a thing that happens.
That's business as usual.
That's a thing that often happens.
Yes.
Well,
yeah, to where people might even be like, wow, you even still had a house after the catastrophic thing that happened?
Maybe you can hand in your homework 2 days later.
Wow. Okay, you are blowing some fucking minds right now. This is incredible.
I'm just saying, I think later on we're going to see a bit more evidence.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Well, as of now, Belding is, you know, frantically studying for these tests that, again, he does not have to take.
Meanwhile, cut to Zach. Zach, by the, we now know, has a twisted knee.
Yeah, he tore some cartilage.
Well, we don't even know that yet. We just know he's twisted his knee.
Right.
And...
Well, he is led to his room, and they do say he's going to be in the hospital for a few days.
But yeah, this is the thing. It instantly cuts to he's in a hospital room, and it's a private hospital room.
It's a private hospital room. He
What health insurance plan is he on?
Well, I think he's pretty rich. I mean, these kids in Malibu.
Right.
I think he's pretty rich. Like, okay. But, so to me, that part wasn't that weird, like having a nice room or whatever. But the fact that they go, because then they do say, Lisa's mom says, you tore some cartilage, and he, I mean, he's in the hospital for like a week. That was my thing. Like, how long is this hospital stay for what I think is very minor knee surgery?
Yeah, for nothing that require, even before, we haven't even learned about the surgery yet.
Yeah.
Well,
we're about to. I mean,
we're about to. But we're already like, he's not, doesn't have an infection.
Nope.
He just has a physical injury.
Yes.
To a non life-threatening part of his body.
Yeah, it's not a vital organ.
So it's a knee. He has a knee injury.
Yes.
When is that an inpatient?
Yeah, of course. Yes. I mean, so combined with the facts of him being in the hospital forever and whatever, the way that everyone reacts, including Zach himself, you would think he was having like triple bypass, open heart surgery, or brain. Like, they are all like, I hope you don't die.
I don't know what the catastrophe was that caused everyone to be living in this world, but maybe medical things.
You're operating like, oh no, that's a fact. Like, that is what happens.
Maybe medical things in this world are treated with utmost severity.
Yeah.
Because of the 6 billion people who were previously living on the planet,
who are
only 30
anymore.
Remain.
Right, of course.
And Zach is a prime specimen.
Of course. If what you're saying is true, he would be responsible for, like, repopulate. Like, he would be assigned to bone all the ladies.
Like, he is alpha breeding stock.
Oh, completely. Complete, like, Gattaca shit. Like, get him to fuck all the ladies so we have a whole population of Zachs. Yeah. I get that. So I guess.
So they're suddenly like, they're looking at it like they're running a stud farm and their prime stallion
has taken to be a fall. In fighting shape, if you know what I'm saying. Of course. You can't bone the most ladies if you got a bum knee.
Right?
Yeah. Okay. You're turning all of this on its head. And now I'm like, now looking through this lens, I'm just like, oh, well, everything makes sense. And there's no nitpicking to be done because it makes sense in your scenario.
So.
Okay. But back to the original, viewing this as if it's supposed to be normal.
Okay, without our deeper knowledge.
Yes. Everyone just loses their minds. Like, they're just acting like he's going to have the most severe, serious surgery, you know, that they, because, first of all, Lisa's mom is going to operate on him. And we joked about that because you can't. The hospitals are run in a way that, you know, certain people are assigned certain wings or certain sections or whatever.
But Lisa's mum...
And doctors have different specialties.
But Lisa's mum is both the first doctor that he meets on the way in.
Yes.
And somehow, like, an expert in...
Knee surgery, I guess? Because she's the one that's like, oh yeah, I'm
like
operating on
you. She's an orthopedic surgeon as well. And
yeah.
So I first made a note, like, where is this, Rwanda?
Yeah.
Like the one, she's like just the medicine sans frontier. Like she's just the one doctor who's been parachuted into care.
Right. Doctors without borders.
She has to do everything like from like dealing with malaria to heart surgery.
Right, right. She's just the ghost. She's the one lady in this Los Angeles hospital,
right?
That's doing everything.
Unless,
okay, we can't. Like I said, if we operate under what you're saying, which, by the way, now I think is so feasible that I'm like, well, maybe that is true. Then again, we're not gonna have anything to say about this episode because it's all gonna make sense,
right?
But just know that you blew my mind. What you said makes total sense. It's crazy.
Now we'll go back to the fake reality.
But we have to go back to looking at it as if it's a normal thing. But yeah, so his friend's mom just happens to be the one who's going to do the surgery.
He's still lying in bed, wearing pajamas, with the leg brace over the
pajamas,
which
of course.
That's how it works.
Yeah. And he goes, so the night before the surgery, though, like, Lisa tries to comfort him, and she's just like, I got to say, his friends are visiting, Kelly and, you know, Screech and the whole gang. They basically, when leaving, say, hope you don't die.
Yeah.
They're all openly like, I mean, you might die, Zach, but I hope you don't.
I'm going to say, Screech is good at building robots, but he is the worst person in this situation.
No bedside manner.
He's no bedside manner. He mentions an uncle who dies through surgery.
Yes.
And then he confuses the remote control for the television.
Of course.
With the remote control
For the fastest moving hospital bed in the history of the world.
It's almost like that bed had been rigged for comedy.
It's almost like
it's
that.
Almost like
I mean, the bed is like a Venus flytrap. It like sandwiches Zach in 2 seconds.
Yeah, just like in a position that
quickly snaps him into.
Would be good for no one.
No one.
There's no position.
No. And there's no reason it should ever go that quickly. There's no ailment that you would be like, I need to get into my body into a 90 degree angle as quickly as possible.
I need to be able to lick my knee.
Yeah. Right now. No lag time.
Why does the doctor keep putting my essential medicine on my knee
that I need to lick off immediately? Somebody hit that remote.
The doctor just goes in and goes like, this is your antibiotic, and if you don't take it in the next 30 seconds, you will die. I'm just going to place it on your knee and leave the room.
You better hit that button. Yeah. So that's the thing, is they all are so openly, I mean, even in real life, I've visited friends and family. Like, if you visit somebody with like terminal cancer, you even still put a front like, oh, you're going to be fine. Oh, yeah. It's going to work out. But they're like, oh my God, you might die during this knee surgery.
From the least dangerous operation.
Oh, ever. So Zach is freaking out and they all leave. And then that's when Lisa's like, don't worry, my mom's a good surgeon, whatever. They leave the room. Zach falls asleep, has a dream that he dies.
He has a dream that he dies.
Yes.
And he's visited by the angel Screech.
Of course.
Who
takes, it's a kind of a little It's a Wonderful Life type thing. Like, takes him to go look at his own funeral. And, you know, of course, everyone in Bayside is like crying.
Everyone's wearing black.
They memorialize his locker.
Like, there's three of each type. Who?
Of course there is.
The nerds come up. They retire his basketball shirt.
Yes.
This is Zach's dream.
Zach's dream.
This isn't even like within the reality of the show. This is within Zach's head.
Yes.
So Zach is an egomaniac.
Oh, is it completely? Of course he is. Of course he is. And that, but see, this kind of lends itself to the theory of it all being in his head because he's like the king of Bayside. And it is, him dying is like the worst thing that could possibly happen. So everybody comes, they're all crying. I did make a note of the fact that Lisa and Kelly do a cheer. They literally do a cheer with pom-poms at a funeral.
Yeah,
like
with
a
black pom-poms.
Rah, rah, we're so sad cheer. Yes, yeah. With all black uniform, black pom-poms.
But maybe if this is Mr. Belding's reality, maybe Mr. Belding is in love with Zach.
I think we've totally, in previous episodes too, kind of touched on the homoerotic undertones of not only Zach and Slater,
but Mr. Belding
and Zach. I definitely think Mr. Belding's in love with Zach. I don't think he wants to, but we've gone into this. I don't think Mr. Belding wants to fuck Zach, though. I think he's in love with him in the way that he's like, I wish I could be. It's like a talented Mr. Ripley thing.
Which would explain why he does his homework for him.
Yeah.
And takes his place in class.
That's right,
because
he wants to
live his life.
It's true. I definitely think there's a part of Mr. Belding that wants to be Zach.
Right.
Yeah. Zach has that dream that he dies. And then he wakes up
terrified,
like, fuck surgery.
He does not want to go through surgery.
Now, I'm not a fan of hospitals. I don't think anybody's a fan of hospitals. I don't think anybody wants to have surgery. But the weird, I took away from this, there are times in this episode where, or not in this episode, in the series, where these teenagers are weirdly mature beyond their years. Honest to God, there are times where in episodes where I'm like, wow, that's a thing an adult would do. This episode is the opposite, where they are acting like goddamn five-year-old, like total pussies about surgery. Because, you know, I had to have surgeries growing up. I wasn't psyched about it. I had a bunch of surgeries when I was like 8. My ears were fucked up. I had tubes in my ears and I had to do a ton of shit. I swear to you, I swear to God as my witness and you and sitting here, I don't remember even at 8 years old thinking I was going to die during surgery. I promise you, I don't remember feeling that. I remember being scared and being like, this kind of sucks and I wish I wasn't here and what a bummer. But I never remember being like, Mom, I'm going to die during my ear surgery.
So what does Zach know about surgery in their world that we don't?
Okay, you can't keep going back to that, though, because it works out too well. It makes too much sense. Your theory makes too much sense. That's why you can't go back to it. But that is the thing I did take away, is that all these teenagers, all these 15 and 16-year-olds associate minor knee surgery with immediate death.
Right. There was a ramping up everything medically.
Yeah.
Like, it went from, like, Zach basically sat down too quickly.
Yes.
To death.
Yes.
It's like it's gone from like
yes.
This.
So they all of them share that attitude of like, oh my God, surgery equals impending death. And
except
so that,
Lisa
calms him down.
Lisa calms him down. Lisa seems to be like, she appreciates the severity of his feelings, but at the same time, she's very careful to say, like, she's a pragmatist and she's worked in a hospital and her parents are doctors, so she's lived with this all her life.
Right, right.
And she knows that her mum is the best doctor going.
Right, of course.
Lisa's mum is pretty badass.
Yes.
Which is why she's allowed to do every operation despite also being the admitting doctor.
She just dominates in all medical categories.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, so that just struck me how they're all so weirdly immature when it comes to that, that they're all just like, oh my God, you're going to die.
So what does Zach do?
Okay, yeah, so he wakes up from this dream, freaks out, and is like, I got to get out of here.
He's like, he has to get out of here.
There's no way I'm having the surgery.
Now, if you were Zach, and you're in a hospital, and you know you have to get out of there.
Yep.
There's literally only one way you
can
do
that. There's only one way to do it. And this is a classic move for this show, and for many shows, I would think, is you got to go steal some scrubs.
Steal some scrubs from somewhere.
Where do you get those? And you got to dress up like a doctor.
Dress up and cover your face with a face mask.
Of course.
Because now he's already the most famous person in the hospital now.
Yeah, all the hot nurses are tripping over
themselves. So he can't walk out in his street clothes. Because they'd instantly go like, Zach?
Hey, wait, you're the hottest guy in this hospital right now. Where do you think you're going?
Yeah, we know for a fact that you're not visiting someone else. You are clearly our patient.
Yes.
Get back in there.
Yes.
But no one's going to question a doctor.
Nope.
With a covered face.
Not only with a covered face, but my favorite part of this is the doctor voice he put on. Hello.
Yes, I am a doctor.
I am a doctor.
That, like, if you... I love that idea, too, of the adult, like, I'm an adult doctor. Adult doctors talk like this, don't they?
Why, I'm just doing grown-up things.
Yes.
I'm a nurse. Fetch me the patient so I can adult behavior on him.
Exactly. So Zach puts on his best, like, Barry White voice. I mean, it's so deep.
He instantly gets asked a question.
Yes.
By a nurse.
Yes.
And they have a little bit of vaudeville Borscht Belt repartee. Well, there's a bit of, like,
sort of
Jerry Lewis.
Oh, totally.
Like,
but
one of my favorite actual jokes
in this episode, I did write this down because, so he's trying to walk out. A nurse comes up and is like, doctor, you know, I need some advice. I'm doing whatever. And he goes, I have to go. I'm going to surgery. And she's like, what surgery? And he's like, I have to go remove someone's neck. That's my favorite.
It's a good
life. I actually did laugh at that.
It's a good... Silly Zach.
He's so silly. So then when he's trying to walk off...
But then the nurse goes...
The one not hot nurse finds him.
I think it's just before that.
Okay.
He goes, his little Borscht Belt repartee, the little vaudeville banter.
Yeah.
Where the nurse says, what do I do with a patient who has chills?
That's right.
And he says, put him next to the one with a fever.
Yes. Yes.
That is
true.
And it was full on, like, rhythm.
Yeah.
And then the band struck up and they danced out.
Yeah.
It was.
And I mean, again, that's just showing the age of the writers of the show being like, you know, they saw that performed in the Catskills or whatever. And then, you know, they're like, I remember that joke from my summer in the Catskills.
Like,
and
I think that might have been stolen from like Show of Shows.
Right.
It's
totally.
Like, it's Sid Caesar.
Totally.
So then the one not hot nurse.
Yeah. So he's trying to walk off. And then the one not hot nurse in the whole hospital finds him.
She pokes her head out of a door.
Yeah.
Sees him.
Yep.
Mistakes him, I presume, for a specific older doctor.
Right.
Or just maybe she does. Maybe she has this with every
doctor. She has an affair with every doctor there.
That's just her thing. And
she says, "Doctor, heal me with your kisses." And then drags him into the room.
Like a 50-year-old woman.
Yeah.
And this is like
Nurse Ratched. Like,
yeah.
She's just like a, you know, 50-year-old port woman.
And she grabs him and drags him.
Portly. Did I say port? Portly. Stout.
Yeah. And she drags him into the room
where
we could. I mean, there was no consent going on there.
No. She rapes him. She technically rapes him. Yeah.
And then that's never.
That's it. How does he just gets out? He just leaves, and then he's got lipstick kisses all over his face mask. Yeah,
now has lipstick kisses because I guess in her sheer animal aggression,
yes,
she doesn't.
She doesn't even care that she's not
kissing his skin.
She makes no contact with his lips.
Lunging at him.
Yeah,
with the sheer force of passion.
Yes,
because she needs Zach Studley Seed.
Okay.
Sorry. I've got to stop bringing it back to the theory.
But that is true. And again, it's making too much sense.
But I think Zach just gives off such raw animal magnetism.
Look, I mentioned it earlier. You saw his arms.
His arms are in good shape.
Arms are really
even covered in hospital scrubs.
You could tell. They're swole up. You could tell that. Yeah, so when he gets out of that, he's like, Lisa's mom walks by and catches him. Like, she walks by, like, what's going on? And then he really lays it on thick and is like, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm a doctor.
But Lisa's
Listen
mom,
to my voice. I am clearly a doctor.
Lisa's mom.
She's not stupid. Yeah.
Like, Lisa's mom, you don't get to be the only doctor in California.
Yeah. Without having a good bullshit detector.
Yeah.
So
she sees straight through it.
Yeah. So she's like, what are you doing? Get your ass back to your hotel room, your hospital room. So he gets back there. That's when Lisa comes in, and Lisa's like, what is your problem? Why did you try to sneak out of here? And he's like, because I'm going to fucking die at the hands of your mother. And she's like, don't even trip. Like, my mom is super good at this.
My mom's never killed anyone. That's what she basically says.
Don't worry. My mom has never even been sued for malpractice.
Yeah.
We got this.
She's awesome. She's the best.
She's awesome. Literally zero people have died at her hand.
Yeah.
You're fine.
We're all good. And Zach has a little reminisce about...
Right.
Because Lisa says, we've been in hospital before.
Right, and he tells some story about how they got hurt ice skating
When they were 9.
Yeah.
I've forgotten until this point that Lisa was Zach's childhood friend.
Yes.
And he tells a story about Lisa, himself, and Screech ice skating as 9-year-olds.
Right.
And Screech trips over... And falls over and trips Zach up.
Yeah.
And on the fall, Zach grabs Lisa.
Uh-huh.
Pulls her down with him.
Yeah.
And pulls her skirt off.
Yes.
At which point the studio audience...
Wooed.
They went, woo!
They wooed.
And we both of us were like, that's a 9-year-old butt.
You're wooing a 9-year-old's butt. That is super creepy and terrible. Yeah, we did look at each other like, why would they press the woo button on that? Like, that is wrong. That was just
a little moment of just, this episode's kind of laced with some sort of sexual impropriety.
Yeah. Like, that one was super wrong. But then what I took away from that, though, is at the end of that, like, she comforts him with that story and he's like, okay, yeah.
And he's like, but he was like, well, that time you were there with me.
Right. But she's like, look, you're going to be fine. His medicine starts working. He falls asleep. And then, because I wrote down, she starts praying for him. Again, how severe these teenagers think this surgery. Like, she literally starts praying to God for him. And I'm like, it is knee surgery.
See, I wonder what... I very recently found out that Peter Engel, executive producer of the show.
Yes.
And also the reason I'm in America. We can maybe talk about that at some point.
Whoa! Yes, we will.
But used to run his first producing job was on a Christian network.
Oh.
And he converted from Judaism to Christianity, and he's actually quite religious.
Okay. And so you think that he shoehorned like, the praying to God thing?
Maybe not shoehorning, but maybe just some of his moralistic character.
Sure.
seeps down.
Yeah, but I want to be clear. I don't have a problem with her praying to God. That, I have no problem with that.
Yeah.
It's the reason why she's doing it that tripped me up so much is the fact that she's like, oh, I got it. This surgery is so severe and so serious. You know what I mean? But okay, who cares about that? Tell me now your history with Peter Engel.
Well, Peter Engel, as I'm sure...
Is he going to be mad at you that you came on here and you're making fun of his
baby? We're not making fun of his baby. I mean, you're as big a fan of this show as
I've ever... I'm the hugest fan, but we're still picking it apart.
Picking it apart, but with love.
Okay, good. Okay, tell me.
We're picking apart the motivations of the characters.
Right.
In the show, not
the quality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But Peter Engel produced Saved by the Bell and Saved by the Bell New Class and everything Saved by the Bell.
Yes.
And then a few years later... While Saved by the Bell was very much in syndication around the world, I saw it in Britain and so on.
Yeah.
And he parlayed some of that money into a future producing career where he co-created Last Comic Standing.
What? Wait, I feel like I did know that.
We've discussed this once before. Last Comic Standing was produced or executive produced by Peter Engel.
Right.
And in 2007... I showed up to some audition in London, not really knowing much about the show because it wasn't broadcast in Britain around that year, and somehow found myself on a plane to LA.
Oh my God, did Peter Engel like single-handedly get you a work visa or something?
Well, his company did. My first visa, the thing that got me into the country originally, was through NBC and Last Comic Standing and the show that was executive produced by Peter Engel, which means that somewhere along the line, I don't know whether he personally chose me, but he certainly would have had the power to veto me and chose not to exercise that.
Okay. Oh, okay. But now you're almost kind of freaking me out because now I'm thinking I was going to try to be on this new, because they renewed their Last Comic Standing is coming back. And yes. I was thinking like, oh, I'll try to be on it this time. I might be fucked. What if he listens to these and he's like, I'm sorry. You said too many shitty things about my baby.
But I don't know.
I will not let you be on.
I think... You have caused renewed interest in the show.
Right.
Reminded people, oh yeah, Saved by the Bell. And I bet people are now watching it on Hulu or buying the box set.
I can be like, look, Mr. Engel, I'm lining your pockets.
You know there was a spike in Saved by the Bell viewership approximately 5 months ago?
Exactly. Maybe I can say that. Yeah. Wow, that's crazy. Well, that's cool. I mean, did you ever meet him personally?
Yeah, he was around most days we were shooting. He was around.
Was he cool?
Yeah, he was a nice guy.
Yeah?
Yeah, he was a lovely man and, you know, kind and one thing that did stick in my mind was we were next to each other at a urinal once.
Right.
On one of the shoot days. And he, like, fully pulls down his pants. Rather than just the zipper. And I remember time thinking, one day I hope to be powerful enough.
Just really technically do that whenever you want.
No, but I don't think... Because I think if were I to do that now, people are like, why is that guy doing that? But Peter Engel is in such a position of power and respect in the industry...
Yeah.
That...
He can do whatever he wants.
But the people are like, what a freeing way to be able to urinate.
Right. Is it?
Like, and I'm like, I dream of a day where I could do such a thing.
Yeah, but would you even prefer that?
I don't know.
You've never tried it?
And maybe I'll never know.
Try it at home alone and see how it feels. I mean, obviously as one who has never peed standing up, I don't know either way, but it feels like it'd be weird to have your pants entirely off and standing.
I mean, like not entirely off, just lowered.
Well, but you know what I mean? On the floor with like your entire ass out.
It was like to around like the mid thigh.
Oh.
But I was looking and going, there's a man who knows his place in life and he's comfortable with himself.
Right.
And that's the kind of level of comfort you can only have from creating
one day, Matt.
Two successful franchises.
I have faith in you and your career and your abilities that one day you will get to the point where you can just take your motherfucking pants off at the urinal. Take them off, hang them on a hook.
Just if it's one of those ones in a nightclub with a bathroom attendant, just hand them to him.
Hold these. Hold these while I pee. I think that's the level you're going to reach in your career.
And just look over and go, hey, my wallet's in my left pocket there. Just yeah, take a little something yourself. For yourself.
Help yourself. I think you're gonna make it. And I hope that you don't forget me when you get to the top. That's my only hope, Matt, is that you remember your friend April when you make it to pantsless, urinating, leveling comedy that we all strive for. Yeah, okay, that's an amazing story, though, about Peter Engel, and I'm going to keep it in mind when I'm trying out for Last Comic Standing. Okay, so Zach, he wakes up. It's time for surgery.
It's time for surgery.
Yeah, and Lisa's mom comes like, hey, I'm ready to do your surgery.
And I made a little note, by the way. I made a little note, great eye acting.
Oh, because the order, like the
orderly slash male nurse who's clearly an extra on the show. He doesn't have a speaking role.
No.
But he's
giving his eyebrows a real workout.
He makes the most of that gig.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he is doing some excellent reacting.
Because the conversation is only between Zach and Lisa's mom, yeah, and that guy standing in the background.
That guy's standing there. But Zach's coming out with a few zingers.
Yeah.
Despite his obvious fear.
Yeah.
He's still...
Despite the decrepit state that he's in.
Yeah.
Because of this terrible injury.
Seconds from death.
Yeah.
And only the hands of the world's most skilled scalpel wielder can save him.
Right.
Despite that, he still has time to throw out a couple of wisecracks.
Right.
And
that guy's eyebrows let us know that
there's a lot of
good.
Like,
yeah.
Like, yeah. I obviously, you know, your listeners to the show can't fully appreciate it. So I'm
I
just trying to make the appropriate sounds that would accompany that if you were allowed to make sounds. So he's really making that work.
And while they're talking, though, Lisa shows up. Lisa shows up in scrubs like, I'm coming too. And I wrote that down because I'm like, you can't just do surgery rooms, you like civilians or whatever. I don't know what you call non-doctors, but like muggles, whatever.
Yeah.
Civilian, you can't just walk up in. If I want to go help my friend who's in surgery, I can't just walk up in the surgery theater or whatever. You can't do that.
Well, except this is clearly a very lax hospital because Zach has earlier on been allowed to wander around in doctor scrubs and dispense actual medical advice.
That's true. I mean,
it just occurred to me. No, but...
This is like a hospital from a Benny Hill show or something.
Well, the thing that I flagged up earlier is a little old-school zinger. I mean, funny. Very funny joke.
Sure.
On Zach's part.
Of course.
But he has just placed two people with infections...
Right next to each
communicable
other.
Communicable diseases.
Yeah, yeah,
right
yeah.
next to each other.
Right, right.
He's got away with it. That nurse.
Yeah, the nurse followed that advice.
There's one of the patients has chills, possibly quite. If you have chills, you know you're clearly vulnerable.
Yes, next to somebody with a fever.
Maybe it was an elderly patient.
Right.
Whose immune system is compromised.
Sure.
And has just placed that person next to a dangerously infectious Zach has caused chaos in this hospital.
It's true. So I guess if that's already happened, they're like, oh, well, anybody can just walk up into the surgery thing.
Yeah.
We don't care. So anyway, so he goes in the surgery. And then he comes out, obviously, totally fine. Everything works out.
Now he's wearing a full
cast. Very not dead. But he is wearing a cast from his thigh to his ankle.
Yeah.
Full, entire leg is in this cast.
Yeah.
For surgery that was on the cartilage in his knee.
Yeah.
I would think you would just have a couple stitches.
Nope.
Maybe.
He has a full...
Full cast. Everybody is there signing
They are not taking any chances.
No.
They are really protective of Zach.
His entire leg is enveloped in a cast. Everyone is there signing it. And I did make a note of how Jessie is dressed like a bullfighter.
Jessie is dressed like a...
She's wearing like a bolero and like a bolo tie... Like, but jeans, like, I don't know why, but she's dressed like a bullfighter, like a traditional bullfighter.
It's not been a great episode for Jessie. She's not done much.
She's not done much, and she's not, unfortunately, looked that great while doing it. I did feel bad for her in this ep.
But she has really stepped up her game in the final scene.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
When it comes to costuming.
Oh, yeah.
Like, she's got the full matador.
Yes. It's so weird. Like, why did the costume designer put her in that?
She's a matador.
Yes.
Screech is like a clown. Like, he's a circus. Okay. Like, he's wearing, like, sort of striped dungarees that, like, come up to his waist. And I know Screech is
okay, no,
not generally known for his fashion sense, but he's actually like a circus clown.
Yeah.
Like, he's...
That's why our laughs are, because it's like, all right, like normally every episode Screech looks ridiculous, like that's par for the course, but you're right, in this particular scene, I mean, he's wearing, you know how when you get, you know how when your house gets sprayed for termites and they have to put like a tent over it? They've hooked suspenders to that and made him into Screech's pants.
With like a, was he wearing like a spotty shirt as well? So he looked.
And seriously, the pants are like 5XL. I mean, it's like a parachute with suspenders attached to it. Yeah. And it's striped.
So he looks like an actual circus clown.
He does literally look like a clown. Absolutely.
And then Slater.
Oh, Slater's Z-Cavs are off the hook.
What
in
is
this.
That word you keep saying?
Z-Cavaricis are the brand of jeans that he wears.
Okay.
That's the specific like, look. But the these are the most high-waisted.
Yeah, with a full, like, thick waistband around, like, around the chest. With this.
Totally. They totally come up to, like, his nipples. I mean, it's like he's wearing a corset, a denim corset. Yeah, I cannot believe how high-waisted they were. Yeah, so they're snugly around his chest, and they're all in there signing as cast, including Mr. Belding. Mr. Belding's in there signing as cast, again, during a school day.
And Mr. Belding, once again, has sacked off work.
Yeah, don't worry about work.
And clearly, apparently, Mr. Belding has spent the last...
He's been studying.
He has been.
He's been studying hard for these tests that he absolutely did not have to take at all.
Right.
Yeah. So they're all there, and they're just like, we're glad you're not dead, Zach. And then it ends with Screech grabbing that remote.
Screech!
He's like, I'm going to change the channel. Wonk, wonk. And then...
And it ends in a perfect freeze frame. Na, na.
Yeah. And then that's the episode, and Zach lives, thankfully.
He does.
Now, when's the last time that you watched this show? Because you did say you saw it in England, growing up in England.
Yeah, it was. You know, it was the same. It was in syndication in England, and then we got the various other incarnations as well. You
right.
Know,
yeah, actually, come to think, because I lived in England for a few years after high school, and my friends that I lived with totally knew about it too.
Like, yeah, so it was on in the like just home from school slot. You know,
right,
it was on
right.
like you know 5 or 6 in the afternoon.
Right.
So, but I don't think I've seen an episode in 20 years.
Right. But you did Except watch it when like, you got home from school.
Yeah. The only thing I've seen maybe is like the odd YouTube clip.
Right. Well, like, when you were going to school,
every
when you
so
guys...
often I'll have to look at the caffeine pills
oh, of course,
scene
the
as
classic. Well, did you guys think over there that it was an accurate representation of school in America? Did you think, oh yeah, this is what high school is like in America?
Well, you know what? Like from this and a hundred other,
right,
like Beverly Hills 90210,
oh, sure,
and like
yeah.
and a whole load of other high school set American shows,
right?
And like, you know, actually, I almost thought I've actually been more surprised being in America by sometimes how American the things really are, because you sort of you watch things like that and think, oh, it's kind of heightened reality and there's
right.
stuff like that. And people don't really look like that and go around,
and some people do,
and some people do. Like I did this college gig, and mm-hmm. it was which school was it? It was one of the big Florida schools, like Florida State or Central Florida.
Right.
And it was their homecoming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And I was part of, like, I wasn't headlining the show, but it was a big show. Jimmy Fallon was headlining it.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And so it was like their big homecoming show, and I was just like the opening act. But they had like a marching band.
Yeah.
And the school... college had like its own circus.
Oh yeah,
like the circus society. So there was like acrobats and a marching band, and the band played in between the acts, and they played us on and off, and like it was like that's not a real thing. That's
oh yeah, oh yeah. I'm sure that would be. Well, I didn't go to. I went to Georgia State University, and it's not really a school like that.
And, like,
but,
seeing
like, the
yellow school
schools.
Buses everywhere. And,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Oh,
that
really...
kind of stuff's a big deal for bigger schools like that.
Yeah,
yeah. And so that blew your mind, and you were like, oh, some of the stuff I saw that I thought was outrageous
is totally
accurate.
Oh, you really do have cheerleaders and take it seriously?
Right, right. That's crazy. That's funny.
That's not just like a device.
Right. How'd you do with that show, by the way?
It was fun. I mean, like any of those shows.
Every college show I've done, I've bombed so hard.
Oh, I'm generally all right with college shows, but this one, the tricky thing about it was because this was their big homecoming show. It was in...
Right.
It was in their basketball arena.
Right.
And there were several thousand
right
students and their parents. So it was like, you know, there were thousands of people out there in a room that is not well suited to
For
listening
jokes.
To a single person talking into a microphone.
Right, of course.
But it was fine. You know, it was great. They were all very excited to be there, and they were very excited to see Jimmy. And
right. Well, I just want to make sure, because again, I want to make sure your career is going well so that you do get to that pantsless urinal level.
One day.
That's what I'm worried about.
So one day it'll happen.
Okay, so you co-host Probably Science.
I do.
With Andy, who's been on. Andy Wood has been a guest a couple of times.
You're a rare returnee guest on Probably Science. You've been on it more than once, and not many people have.
I think it's for the same reasons Andy has been on mine twice, because right. We still have each other's phone numbers and we still hang out. But I do appreciate you saying it as if it's a compliment.
Absolutely.
No, yes. I love you guys' thing. It's awesome. And it's at probablyscience.com.
It is, and on iTunes and Twitter at Probably Science and all that kind of thing.
Yeah,
and if
it's
you
want really
to hear
fun.
Comedians go through the week in science news badly.
It's super fun and smart. You guys are way smarter than me. And what's your Twitter? Your Twitter's just at Matt Kirshen, right?
Yeah, it's Matt Kirshen at mattkirshen.com and Facebook/MattKirshen. And you'll probably get the spelling wrong, but
K-I-R-S-H-E-N.
That is correct.
Boom.
But if you, it's a sufficiently odd name that if you Google anything vaguely close,
it'll
you'll get
the,
did you mean, like, even if you go like British comedian Matt K-I and then just bang the keyboard for a bit.
Right.
Google
it'll
will get
come
it.
Up. Okay, cool. And then speaking of which, you'll be back at home around Christmas, right? In
I
England?
Will. Yes, I will.
All right. I might be there too, hanging out with you.
That would be awesome.
Okay, awesome. Thank you so much for coming
Thank
over.
Thank you for having me. It's been a lot of fun.
It was super fun. You blew my fucking mind with that Mr. Belding theory.
I'm sorry for making...
No, don't apologize.
Taking another reality.
But I am going to, for future episodes, I'm going to have to try to not view it through that lens. okay, and yeah, for all of you guys watching at home, along with us on Netflix, what I have next is an episode called Check Your Mate. So if you want to watch that, that's the next episode I will be doing. And yeah, I want to thank everybody for continuing to send me awesome emails and leaving iTunes like ratings and reviews and stuff. It really helps. And it also just makes me feel better. Like, I'm not wasting my time with this. So thanks, everybody. And I'll see you next time on Go Bayside. Beep, 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 go Bayside!